Good morning again, everybody. Welcome. Happy New Year once again. It's great to be here with you starting out this brand new year. To get things started this morning, I'm going to share just a little bit about my upbringing. Whenever anyone asks me where I come from, it's always a very difficult question to answer because I didn't live in one place growing up. In fact, I lived in a lot of different places, including 8 years over in Germany. I am what a lot of people refer to as an army brat. My dad was in the army and grew up following him from one base, army base to another. So from the time I was born all the way through my junior year of high school, I lived on army bases all over the place. Sometimes we'd stay for 4 years, sometimes we'd stay for a year, and we'd continue to move. But one thing that I learned in all those years is that life with the military is saturated with all kinds of military customs and traditions. And one of the major factors I've always known about military life is respect for authority. Respect for authority, discipline, is drilled into everyone who's part of the military. The military community is built upon authority structure. And everyone knows where they belong in that structure. Whether you have your squad of two or three individuals, which are then formed into platoons and companies and battalions and all the way on up, and everyone knows what their job is and where they belong. Each level has its own commander who's in charge of that group, and they're subject to the authority of somebody above them. You probably all know the stereotype of the typical military drill sergeant who yells at those young privates, making them do what they're commanded to do. And that's all about training them to live in obedience and respect for authority. It's all designed to teach discipline. Strict discipline and respect for the command structure is seen in every area of life, honestly. Just walking around an army base, you will see soldiers stopping to salute higher-ranking soldiers just as they're passing by. Every morning and every evening, the flag is raised, and every evening the flag is lowered, and everyone on the base stops and respects that flag, puts their hand on their heart or salutes as the flag is raised or lowered. Everyone. Discipline and respect are a high priority in military life because the function of the entire army depends on everyone obeying their commands and doing what they've been trained to do. Now, life in Christ isn't anywhere near that level of strict discipline, but we all have authorities in our lives that we need to respond to. No matter who you are, there are at least four primary areas of authority that you need to consider in your life. The first, I think we all are aware of, is the civil government. Every nation has some form of government overseeing it, passing and enforcing various laws for the people to live by. There's often various levels. Of course, we have our city government, we have a county government, state government, and the national government. Each one has its own level of leaders. Each one responds to the ones above it. We all have workplace authority. Communities are built upon people working jobs, and in just about every job you work for, you have a boss that you need to respond to. Depending on the size of your company, you may have several levels of managers overseeing your work. And a small company may only have one boss, but that boss is still subject to some authority. If you're the CEO or the owner of your company, you still have to respond to government authorities. But every place you work, you have some authority to respond to. There is authority within the home. Parents are authorities over their children. And God has given roles for husbands and wives to follow. They are co-equal partners, united as one, yet God calls men to take responsibility as the head and protector of their families. That requires a certain level of authority. The wife is responsible for caretaking, nurturing the family, which also requires a level of authority in other areas of home life. There's authority built into every area of life. The final primary area of authority is spiritual authority. Churches need to have leaders at different levels. As we heard in the announcements, I'm going to be sharing a little bit about our own structure here for leadership at the church and some changes that we're going to be making. We need leaders working to oversee the entire organization to make sure things are functioning well. We need leaders working one-on-one to train and disciple people. We need groups working together to accomplish certain tasks. And one thing that we have learned very well is that every group needs to have a clear leader who's in charge, who knows what we're trying to do and helps gather everyone together. All those leaders need to work together and be subject to a higher authority that sets the overall direction and vision for the church. And as the pastor, I'm subject to the authority of our denomination, the Fellowship of Evangelical Churches. So as people who've been redeemed by God through Jesus' sacrifice, one of the things we need to ask ourselves about life in Christ is, how do we respond to all these different authorities in our lives? I think this is especially important at times when we disagree with those authorities. Because, let's face it, life is easy, and it's easy to respond to authorities when we agree with them. If our bosses are telling us to do something we like to do, great, no problem. But if we disagree with them, that's when we run into trouble and say, okay, how should I be responding to them? So when we disagree, that we start doubting those authorities, and we have to ask ourselves how God calls us to respond. We also have to realize that no matter who the authority is, you will disagree with them at some point. Whether they're a ruthless, self-serving dictator or a caring, compassionate leader, there will be disagreement. It's certainly better for everyone if your leaders are serving well and working to be the kind of leader God wants them to be. But there will be times when you question them. Sometimes that happens simply because those leaders can't see into the future and know exactly how things are going to work out. They don't always have all the answers and all the skills to figure things out. They're going to miss something, and they're going to make mistakes. And sometimes you're going to be unhappy with those mistakes that they make. Or sometimes they have a different perspective on things. They see a bigger picture. They're going to make decisions based on larger group goals, and not everyone is going to like those choices all the time. Leaders know that not everyone is always going to understand and not everyone's always going to be happy, but a decision has to be made to move forward, and sometimes we just don't like those decisions. So the question is, in those times when we disagree with what a certain authority is doing, how do we respond? We have a choice in how we're going to respond to them. We can get angry and upset. We can try to make life more difficult for them because we don't like what they've done. We can let everyone know about our displeasure and ensure everyone knows what a poor leader they are. We can try to usurp and undermine them. We might just disregard them and do what we want to do anyway. In certain situations, we may try to distance ourselves from those authorities. You ask yourself, do you leave your family behind because you don't want to live by those rules anymore? Sometimes as kids, especially, we start to ask ourselves the question, do I don't like my parents' rules? Do I stay, or do I just get out of here? How does God call us to respond? Do we try to replace our parents with someone else, someone we think we'd like better? When it comes to the church, do you leave the church because you're unhappy with what the leaders are doing or who they are? You don't like the direction they're going, so you just go somewhere else that seems more agreeable to what you want? Now, even as I say all this, I recognize there are certain times when we must distance ourselves from certain authorities. We must disregard certain commands. If an authority is harming people, certainly we need to protect ourselves from them. Get away from them. And if authority commands us to do something that disrespects God, then we can't follow those commands. Biblically, this is demonstrated well, I think, by three men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. These men were Israelites living in exile in Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had made this huge golden idol and commanded everyone in Babylon to bow down and worship this idol. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused. They couldn't do that. They needed to honor God. And so they suffered the punishment that the king had declared. They were thrown into a fiery furnace. And if you've read this story, you know the amazing miracle that happened there, that God protected them. And in the end, the king ended up praising God. But even in their refusal, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego demonstrated the kind of attitude God calls us to have in responding to all authority. This response to authority is something that Paul addresses in the beginning of chapter 3 in the letter to Romans. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles up to Romans 13 with me. We're going to read the beginning of that chapter today. As you're opening up to that, let me just give you a little bit of context as we come into this. Just prior to the beginning of chapter 13, Paul says that love must be sincere, and he talks about blessing those who persecute you, not to seek a vengeance, but trusting God to take care of those things, to overcome evil with good. Just some general statements about how to respond to people in the world. And right after he says those things, he goes straight into Romans 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6 together. And here's what it says. Everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear to the one who is in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So the basic command God gives us for all governing authorities is submit to them. Do what they say. Obey their commands. This is what God calls us to do in response to authority. In Titus 3, 1 through 2, Titus writes something similar to Paul here. He says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. So it's pretty clear what the Bible is telling us to do, to submit to authority. But why? Why does God command us to do this? What reasons does God give us to submit rather than go our own way and try to find happiness doing what we want to do? Well, one of the things that becomes clear from this text in Romans 13 is that submission to authority is good for you, which is the first reason I want to consider. Let's reread verses 3 through 5 again. Paul writes, "For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear to the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to you to do good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an angel of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoers. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience." One of the roles an authority has is to uphold various rules and laws. And being able to uphold those things requires them to punish wrongdoing in some way. So, living by the rules just makes life easier for you, Paul says. If you don't want to live in fear of authorities, just do what they tell you to do. You won't run into trouble with those authorities if you do what's right. And I think we can go even a little bit deeper than that. Hebrews 13:17 points out that there's honestly a relationship between authorities and the people they serve. And here's what that says. It says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no benefit to you. The role of authority is to serve and watch over people. And that requires them to set certain boundaries and create structures for people to work within so that the whole group can work well together. And more often than not, it is those authorities who have to speak up when people step out of bounds and they say, stop that. Don't go there. Don't do that. It's usually the people in charge saying that to people. And that's what sometimes upsets us. One of the most difficult aspects of being an authority is being the person responsible to say no to people. But if people are not doing their job well, they have to do that in order for things to work well and for people's own protection, for the good of everyone. So if that's their role, then we who follow them should try to make their job a little bit easier and not more difficult. We should do all we can to work within those boundaries that they set. Otherwise, their work, their service to us, becomes a burden to them. And if it's a burden to them, they're going to serve us less well than we could, and we're going to suffer for it. So there's the feedback relationship that goes on there. So what Paul, the first thing that Paul says is, submit to authority so it will go well for you, basically. Make their job a joy. And then in verse 5, he says, it's necessary to submit to authorities not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So not only does submission to authority benefit you in the avoidance of punishment, it also gives you a clear conscience. And this is what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego demonstrated well, I think, even in their refusal to do what the king commanded. They didn't create a scene. They didn't cause a rebellion. They didn't just go around talking about what a terrible king King Nebuchadnezzar was. They went straight to the king. Well, the king was told, first of all, by others that you have these Jews over here who are not following your command. So somebody tattled on them. The king got furious and brought them forward. And they replied to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this manner. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, then the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So they were very bold in their refusal, yet they shared it directly with the king. They didn't hem and haw around. They didn't hide it from him. They were just open and shared with the king. Look, we can't not follow this command. We're not going to follow this command. We need to trust our Lord. They demonstrated respect and integrity in this response. They didn't refuse the king's command. They accepted readily the punishment that he applied to them. They didn't resist. They trusted that God would take care of them because they honored him above the king. And as I said, they were open and honest with the king. They admitted that they could not do what he asked. They didn't hold it in. They didn't get upset. They just said, King, we can't do this. And I think this really shows that submission to authority doesn't mean what we so often think it means. It doesn't mean blind obedience to do whatever you're told to do. It means respecting your authorities and being honest with them, even if you don't agree. A reasonable leader will listen to you and decide whether further changes should be made in response to what you say. They may discover, oh, I didn't know that. Let's respond differently. Let's do something different. Or they may explain to you why they can't change, help you understand why they made the decision they made. But even if you don't fully understand, God calls you just to respect and have integrity. This applies to the government we live in under the authority here in the United States as well. We are honestly very privileged in this country to have a government that is designed for participation by the average citizen. There's a lot of countries that don't have that at all. We have some incredible freedoms to provide feedback to our government, to express how we feel about what our government is doing. If we're going to obey God's commands here in response to authorities, we should be careful not to abuse that privilege. If we disagree with our government, do so with respect, integrity, humility, and godly submission. The point that Paul makes in this is that in submission, you will have a clear conscience because you have done everything well. You have acted with integrity and righteousness. Then we go to another reason why God calls us to obey authorities, and that is that he knows we work best well when there's order and structure. We need structure and organization in order to function well together, whether you're a nation, a workplace, a home, or a church. God expects his church to function in an orderly way. In fact, we read about this in 1 Corinthians. Let me just turn over to that real quick. Oops, got to go in the right direction. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's just read a part of what Paul wrote here, starting in verse 26 if you're following along. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And all of these things must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue or two, at least, or at most three, should speak at one time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. There needs to be order in order for us to do well, for us to really understand what's happening, and for us to make progress. In a church, we're a lot like a body. And Paul, in fact, Paul calls us the body of Christ and talks about how each individual part is important. A body is a very highly structured and organized system. You have individual cells that come together to form tissues. Tissues form organs, and organs work together in organ systems, and all those things come together to make the body function in a very highly specialized way. Each has its own level of control, and each one responds to the master controls of our central nervous system. The body functions best when each part does what it's told to do. The body can't function well if parts are off doing their own things. Imagine how hard it would be to do anything if each of your eyes decided individually what to look at. What if your ears wanted to sit and listen to this message while your legs were saying, no, let's get out of here. We have to function together. Every part needs to work together. We need to have hand-eye coordination to pick up things, to move around. All the muscle groups need to work together to enable us just to stand or to walk. It takes high level of control and coordination to be able to rub your belly and pat your head at the same time. Each part has to respond to the control and the commands that are being given to it. The body only works when everything is coordinated. And this happens even at a cellular level. Individual cells have communication going on to communicate from one to another what's happening in the environment. So we need to have order. And order requires certain levels of authority and leadership. We need to have certain people focused on oversight and management and vision and direction to provide a common focus for everyone so we're not all off going in different directions. And that authority has to have the power to enforce that structure. We need leaders to guide and direct various ministry groups in the church. And everything we do as a group, as I said earlier, needs to have a clearly defined leader. We work well together only if we submit to those authorities. An authority can't be an authority without followers. We had this discussion recently, right? You have to, if you're a leader and you don't have anyone following you, you're just out for a walk, right? But those leaders and those followers have to work together. It takes followers working with that leader, communicating. And as I said earlier, it's a relationship. They have to communicate with one another. The leader has to respond to what they're hearing. But they also have the authority to make decisions and say, this is the direction we're going. And everyone has to be willing to submit to that authority and say, okay, we've talked about it. You have decided we're just going to go the direction you said. That's the only way we can have order and things can work. So once again, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And so he establishes both leaders and followers to work together so that we can work together well and accomplish God's purposes. Now, I think there's one more very important, probably the most important reason why God calls us to submit to authority. And it's given right in the first couple of verses of Romans 13. Let me flip back to that and read just the first two verses, where Paul says, everyone must submit himself to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. God calls us to submit to various authorities in our lives, not primarily based on how well those people lead, or how deserving of our respect they are, but because we understand God established them. There is no authority except that which God has established. Now, this is a really difficult truth to grasp and to believe sometimes, because there have been a lot of really corrupt leaders in the world. There are all kinds of authorities who don't acknowledge God in any way at all. But regardless of this, the Bible declares they have all been established by the Lord. And you see this all throughout the Old Testament. God established Pharaoh to be ruler over Egypt at a time when God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery. In Romans 9, Paul quotes God's words from Exodus. And he says, "For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and that my name might be proclaimed in the earth." God takes credit for Pharaoh being king at that time so that God would be glorified through all that happened, that people would know who he really was. God raised up King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon to conquer Israel in order to discipline his people for not obeying his commands. And he raised up the king Cyrus of Persia to conquer Babylon in order to eventually allow the Israelites to return to their home. Now, God doesn't always make it clear to us why he allows various authorities to come to power. He really doesn't owe us any explanation. He is God, and he has a bigger perspective on the world than any of us do. It's honestly a great example of how we don't always understand the decisions our earthly leaders make, but we have to trust them and submit to them, even if we don't fully understand. Whatever God's reasons are, God calls us to trust him in all circumstances. And in what we're talking about today, he calls us to trust him with the human authorities in our lives. He is greater than any of them, and he has allowed them to be in the positions they are in for his reasons. If we rebel against human authority, we are rebelling against what God has instituted. And again, that doesn't mean blindly following every command. It doesn't mean fully trusting them, but it does mean treating them with dignity, honor, and respect because we honor and trust the Lord. So ultimately, God's command to submit to governing authorities is a call to have greater faith in him. Who are we really trusting? Are we trusting those leaders, or are we trusting God? When things get difficult, can we trust that God is greater than those circumstances, greater than those authorities? Our Christian faith begins with an individual understanding that God loves you and wants to set you free from your sin. We understand that Jesus came into our lives and gave up his life for our sake. There's a one-on-one relationship that we begin there. But as you continue maturing in your faith, you're going to discover that God is much bigger than you thought. He's working in much bigger ways. It's God who gathers us together as a church. The Bible declares that he assembles all the parts of the church. He brings us together to work in various ways for his purposes, to be that well-ordered body that I talked about. And we realize that God is working all over the world, establishing or replacing all kinds of authorities for greater purposes than we can understand. And those purposes help people all over the world recognize him and turn to him through faith in Christ. And those authorities, in all kinds of ways, teach us to trust him, trust God with every area of our life, because we ultimately know, no matter what else is going on, God is in control. I find myself saying that so often. We get frustrated with the way things are going in our country. We're not happy with what things are going. I think, thank goodness, God is in control. Because there's only so much we're able to do, but God can do so much more than we can. And we trust that he will take care of us, just as he took care of those three men who refused to follow King Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, what God calls us to choose to do, and especially in those moments when we disagree with our leaders, is what I read earlier in Hebrews 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, and for that would be of no benefit to you. And then I would add to that, because you trust the Lord to handle the situation, and have greater faith in him as we continue to follow him. So I would like to close today just giving thanks to God that he is in control. Because we know there's a lot of awful stuff going on in the world that we can't do anything about except respond as God has called us to do, with respect and integrity, submission when we need to. But we can trust that God will take care of us. And then I just want to remind you to stay for lunch. We have food downstairs. It's a great time to just be together and get to know each other more. We can have more conversation about what God is doing in our lives. Let's pray and give God thanks. Lord, I do thank you that you are in control, that you are the one who oversees everything that happens in this world, Lord. We can't manage it all ourselves. We can't control it. And we see things, Lord, that don't coincide with your goals, but we trust that you are taking care of it in some way, Lord. You allow things to happen for your reasons, and we trust you. I pray that you would help us all to continue growing as your body here at True North, Lord. Help us to work together well, being that body, interacting, communicating, and following as needed, Lord, to do your service, to do your purposes. I thank you for the time we have for some fellowship today, Lord. Help us to just grow together closer, to understand each other well, and be committed to serving you in every area of our lives. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.